Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project. I'm going to give my co-host a chance to get on the line today. We have a lot of information that we'd like to give to you, and we're glad to have you on the show today. Our faithful listeners are there as usual. And to give everyone a chance to call in, I am going to play a song. I really hope you like it because this is one of my favorites. Here we go.
Can't stay away from you too long. Even if I do, I'll always call. Checking on you, make sure you're okay. Be the one to brighten up your day. Yeah, yeah, and the point of it all, I love you. Yeah, you know I love you, baby. Oh, my days seem long whenever we're apart. Like someone has stolen away my heart. You're a major part of my life. And no matter what the storm may bring, I'm fine with you. And the point of it all, I love. And the reason for it all, I love you. Oh, I love.
I love.
Oh, I love.
Oh, I love you.
Oh, I love you, girl.
Hamilton, that's one of my favorite songs. I'm going to take a moment and get my co-host on the line so that we can start our show. Brother Donny, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. This is Donny. How you doing?
All right, shalom, shalom. I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. I wanted to continue our conversation. We have quite a few people on the line today. People are still calling in today. For you all who don't know me, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Yaina Israel. That is my Hebrew name. This is the Yehuda Project. We have this every Sunday at 3:30, and we are about the Hebrew-Israelite agenda. So, Brother Donia, if you'd like to introduce yourself to the newcomers, I appreciate it.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I've become a part of the program, and we welcome each and every one of you for tuning in, and you will get some information by tuning in to this program on our struggles and to find out how we can get out of this mess that we're in. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so we can continue our conversation that we were having before we were on the show. As I was saying earlier today, is that I put some information, I was researching as I always do, and I put some information on the board. And when I went to searching information, I found out some very startling news. And I wanted you to hear some information that is now circulating around the masses. And you know, we always listen to Alex Jones, and he's one. I'm going to start with him because he's one of the commentators or news commentators on the internet. And you know, we don't really give too much credence to regular news anymore because we feel like it's been censored. So we get most of our information from the internet, from credible sources. So I wanted to, because let me explain to those people who this is their first time calling into the show. We have quite a few people on the line, and I've invited some new people on the line. So I just wanted to kind of give you a little bit of background of what we believe. We've come to realize, well, I've come to realize, I used to be a Christian pastor. I was in Christianity. I'm still a believer of the New Testament. Brother Adonia deals with mainly the Old Testament, but I deal with the new, old and new. And I came to realize that we are not Gentiles as we were told that we were, that we are actually the Hebrew Israelites of the Scriptures, that we actually have the authentic blood of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. So the purpose for this show is to give information to our people, and there are certain prophecies that are associated with us being the people of the book. And one of the main prophecies that we look toward is that we are going to be allowed to go back home. And a lot of people, some of you young people who are on the line, this may sound a little foreign to you because you've been born in this country, and this country is all you know. But if you reach back into your history and you start to bring back to your remembrance about the slave trade, you have to understand that our ancestors were brought here by force, that this is not our native land, and the scripture says that we will be transported back to our land when the time comes. So the whole purpose for this show is to give enlightenment to us as to who we are, give instructions as to how we need to prepare, and to change the whole image of the Hebrew Israelite nation to the point where it's not looked upon as a cult, but that we are the people, authentic people, and that we do have a royal blood that is in captivity with us. So I want to play this clip for you real quick so you can hear what I heard this weekend, and it startled me. Hold on, here we go.
You know, when somebody says, why don't you expose the Catholics or the Jews or whatever? Of course, there's evil in all these things. But, you know, it's like so much evil in so little time. You know, what you've got to do here. You know, Henry Kissinger called up a columnist for the New York Post. This was about 2 months ago. And he said, I would like for something to be on the front page of your newspaper, a quote from me. She said, okay. Betsy, whatever her name is, you can get the New York Post.
Sure, I saw it.
And he said, in 10 years, Israel will not exist. That's all. That's all he wanted to say. But he wanted to tell the whole world. Because in the Jewish Kabbalah and Talmud, you tell people what you're going to do before you do it. If you're going to murder somebody, you tell them beforehand.
Once again, it's counting too.
Yeah, that relieves you of the guilt of doing it, according to this theory. So he's saying in 10 years there will be no Israel. What does that mean? They just came out with a new DNA study by Dr. Ilan Elhaik of St. John's Hopkins School of Medicine, one of the most distinguished schools in America. He's Jewish. He says that there is no Jewish people, that all of the Jews in the world came from the Khazars and such. Now, there have been other genetic studies on this. In other words, no one living in Israel today has ancestors who came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob,
except for the Sephardic Jews of Middle Eastern Jews.
But those are less than 2% of the Jews. In fact, the Palestinians are more Israelite than the Jews are.
By the way, it was Sephardic Jews they radiated.
Yeah. And by the way, now it's Obama's going.
Why would the Israelis want to kill Jews that are genetically like the truly ancient Jews?
Well, they're the Ashkenazi Jews. You know, it's a long story. The Ashkenazi Jews are the Khazars. They're not Israelites. The Sephardi, many of them are. Those that stayed in the Middle East are. So the people, when Netanyahu said God gave us the title of this land, you know, 5,000 years ago, no such thing. His ancestors came from Khazaria.
There's been new genetic research showing that's a true theory.
So this just came out.
13 tribes been confirmed.
Yeah, Arthur Kessler, you know, the poor guy died. Some say he was murdered. He was a very good Zionist Jew, and he wrote the 13th tribe. He said they came. All of the historians and archaeologists have always said this.
That's around Georgia.
Yeah, I wanted to know the truth. I wanted to say, well, what is the truth on this? Well, now we have DNA evidence that says the Jews are converts. They're pagans who converted to Judaism. They do not. Their bloodlines do not go back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And not only that, but Dr. Elhi, who is Jewish, who is a real fighter there, he says there's no doubt about it. It's science. So what happens? What do all the Christians do? I will say this. Henry Kissinger knew of this study. He knows of this. I think
it's really chic to hate Israel. And I see them building it up, Antichrist up. He claims to be and then kills them. I mean, this is crazy.
Right, the elite.
That's what I'm saying. It's more sophisticated.
The elite have latched on to Israel as a tactic, as a strategy.
I saw America's plunging in the polls. They have us do the dirty work, then they destroy us.
Absolutely. Look, the Rothschilds and the others are Sabbatean Jews. They worship Satan. They don't worship the Bible. They have a serpent that they worship. I know this sounds fantastic. Of course it is. But what we
have is because that ancient area north of Georgia,
right, Kazakhstan, Georgia, those areas in there, those people migrated over to Europe. There were 3 million Polish people. Now, when Israel was formed, David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister, was a Polish guy. Shimon Peres is Polish. They that wasn't even their names. They changed their names to sound like they were Israelites. So we have a nation of imposters. But it would be wrong of us to hate these people. It would be wrong of us to not get the right idea here. The right idea is this. These people have been used. They have been used for foul purposes. They have been used to set up a bastion in the Middle East. But they will be dealt with. They'll be destroyed once the New World Order has.
Now, why is Saudi Arabia so precious? I mean, they are just hands off. We've never seen such attacks when we criticize Saudi Arabia. And that's when you're over the target, get the flag.
Well, yeah, it's interesting that the 9/11 people, what, 17 of the 19 cases.
But look how Al Qaeda comes out of there, but we never hear about that, and how they're using Saudi Arabia to take over Libya and Syria. I mean, they're planning a big clash, too, that Pike talked about with the Muslims, too.
Yeah, well, Pike was an interesting character who had the plan. And he said basically the plan is that there will be a great clash between the Muslims, the Christians, with the Jews sort of sitting on the sideline, but they'll be destroyed too. So that atheism will be the true religion, and Lucifer will be the one we worship. And I think that's the key here. We have to understand these people do not worship the Old Testament. And I'm talking about the Illuminati elite. They don't worship the Old Testament. They don't believe in the Old Testament at all. They have the Kabbalah. I mean, you know, when you see Madonna with her little red band, Bill Clinton has it. Britney Spears has a little red a wristband. They're into the Kabbalah. They're not into the Old Testament. They're not into...
That's mysticism picked up in Egypt, Babylon, and then the Khazars.
It absolutely is. That's where it all comes from.
And it's admittedly that.
Admittedly.
That's all Raiders of the Lost Ark. And that's what drives me crazy. We're informed. People say there's no Illuminati. It's in history books. And everything, you know, and it's just so, I want everybody, no matter what, black child, Jewish child, German child, Chinese child, to not drop off suicide nets. I just want a future text. I know that's what you want. Amazing. I'd love to have you back on a history lesson.
Great.
On that, because I find it fascinating. And And the way I described it is, I don't like any of the racist groups. I don't like the racist Jewish mafia that's attacking me all the time, the ADL. I don't like the Mexican mafia attacking me. I don't like the Muslim groups that say I'm horrible because I don't say kill all the Jews. I don't like, it's like I don't like Hitler. I don't like Stalin. I don't like the British royalty. I don't like Che Guevara. You know, so often it's like, well, this group's bad. See, that's like Shang. Or America's corrupt, so, why isn't Hugo Chavez good?
Yeah.
Well, compared to a lot of dictators, he wasn't that bad. He stole a lot of property and stuff from poor people. Even, it's just the real world. You got to have discernment. You got to have nuance. You got to have history. And I'm just coming in at 39 and being able to really start figuring things out. And it's just to an elitist, they get off on the general public being like deaf, dumb, and blind people who can't even communicate. And they use that to control them. And I want to empower them. But I think you agree a lot of it is spiritual. You know, God has to touch
them. Spiritual. Here's a real question. Why was Henry Kissinger protected when he said Israel will not exist in 10 years? Remember, he's Jewish. Why was he not attacked by the press? How dare he say
that? Lockheed Energy say that. They say nuke.
Oh, boy, they would say, look, he's got a plan. He wants to kill us all. He wants to bring back the Holocaust. But Henry Kissinger said it. Nobody asked a thing. He just says it. And you're supposed to accept it. Well, I don't accept it.
All right. What do you say about that? The reason why I played this is because I want you to understand, if you really watch the trend of this, Adonai, how the Most High is opening up the door for us to walk through it.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. And see, not only is it strange, it's prophetic. All of this stuff has to happen. It's written in the scriptures how it's supposed to go down. Now, if you notice, they're not going to listen to any truth. If you notice, they kept on interrupting. You understand? And bringing this up and bringing that up. You understand? And see, no matter what we say, they're not going to listen to it because they think they got a lock on it. You understand what I'm saying? They think that they can do anything. You understand? And that the Almighty is not going to bring forth His prophecy. But this stuff is forming right before our eyes. Right? He's going to. He said he was going to turn our captivity right before our eyes, and exactly what he's doing. You understand? Our only job here. We don't have to hate nobody. We don't have to lift up a stick. All we got to do is gather ourselves so that we can get together and find out how we're going to sustain ourselves when this stuff starts really going down, because it's going to go down. You understand? So-called Jews is not going to stand by and just let you do anything. You understand? They're going to put up all kinds of fronts they like a kid with the baseball bat and glove. He's gonna take his baseball bat and glove and go home. You understand? But before he do that, he'll destroy everything that he possibly can, and that's what he's gonna do. You understand? They rather die and go to hell than to turn everything over back to turn the tides. You understand, of how things are going to go down. It's really, really a deep story, man. And that paperwork that I sent you tells the story.
Yes, sir. I got one more. I want to play one more for you. Now, she is Jewish. This woman is Jewish, and she is one of the major reporters. Her name is Helen Thompson, and she's on CNN, and she's being interviewed by Joy Behar. And listen at what she says. This is very important because what's happening, ladies and gentlemen, for you all who have just joined our show, we know who we are. We have been labeled Negro. We have been labeled Black. We have been labeled African-American. We have been labeled colored. But we are the descendants of the 12 sons of Jacob, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So we are the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. We are the original Hebrew Israelite people of the scriptures, and we were taken and displaced out of our land because of our own disobedience. But the Most High gave us a prophecy that he would return us back to the land in the last days, and there are people that have assumed the identity of, they call themselves Jewish, and this is what these clips are playing now, that their own people are coming to the forefront and saying, we are not Jews. We are not supposed. Just listen at this clip. Here we go.
Enjoy our show every night, 10 Eastern, on HLN.
The dark side of being outspoken is sometimes you get in trouble. I can relate because I've gotten into trouble over my career also. Thank you. I mean, you know, when you have a big mouth, you're going to get in trouble. And my mother used to say, good luck with your mouth.
But that's called freedom.
It's called freedom of speech, and I use it every day.
And you pay the price.
You pay the price. Okay, and you did pay the price. Okay, so like those Israel remarks that you made, and I want people to see what it is we're talking about. So let's watch.
Any comments on Israel? We're arresting everybody today. Any comments?
Get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, not Poland.
So where should they go? Where should they go?
They go home.
Where's the home? Poland.
So did you just go back to Poland? All right, they're coming back on. Of course, we got some technical difficulties. Hold on, everybody. We're going to get this back on here. But you hear what she said?
In America and everywhere else.
So when you look at that, when I watched that and when I saw it in the first place, I thought to myself, but that is an insensitive remark, that Poland and Germany are the exact places that the Jews were put into concentration camps, and that at the very, very least...
World War II, I had two brothers, no relatives.
Right.
It hasn't been enough persecution since World War II. You don't take other people's land.
But you see the insensitivity of the remark that...
No, I didn't realize it would bring that many dollars because they've been free ever since.
I know, but Germany and Poland, you didn't pick, you know, Alaska. You picked Germany and Poland.
I should have said Russia, too.
Well, Russia had its share of anti-Semitic pogroms also, but...
They also had 25 million who died in World War II.
That's true. But I'm trying to...
More than that.
Yeah, so, I mean... Germany, Poland, you know, Dachau, Auschwitz, we're talking
and
about...
the United States.
Mm-hmm. And the United States what?
I said they were... He said, where should they go?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't have to go anywhere, really, because they weren't being persecuted anymore, but they were taking other people's land.
See, you're talking about the Israelis.
Of course.
Did you hear that? Wow. Hold on, you guys. We're having some technical difficulties, of course, today, of all days. We are experiencing some technical difficulties, but we're going to...
Uh-huh. Do you consider yourself anti-Semitic?
Well, no.
You do not.
I'm a Semite.
You're a Semite yourself.
I have a background.
Oh, I know, you're Lebanese background, right? But you're not Jewish.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, no, you say you're... I'm just trying to clarify.
They're not Semites. I mean, most of them are from Europe.
Mm-hmm. The Jews?
Yes.
Well... Okay, but I'm trying to see. If you had a chance to redo the comment, what would you say now?
Why do they have to go anywhere? They're not being persecuted anyway.
The Israelis?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why do they have to go anywhere?
The Jews.
The question was, any comments on Israel? That's what the question was. And you said, tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Right.
And then the rabbi who was interviewing you said, any better comments? And you said, remember, these people are occupied in their land, not Germany's, not Poland. So where should they go, he said? What should they do?
And you said,
why
don't they have to go anywhere? They aren't being persecuted. They don't have the right to take other people's land. Under international law, occupied land should not be annexed.
But then maybe you should have said, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but maybe you should have said, well, the Israelis should stay in Israel, but you said they should go back to Poland and Germany. That's what got you in trouble, Helen.
He said, where should they go?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it did get me in trouble. Everything is distorted, but I don't care, you know.
You don't care at this point.
No, at hell no.
Okay. All right.
What do you think about that? Now, this is her saying, you know, you don't have a right to take anybody's land. Of course, the land was not taken from us. We didn't experience that, but we definitely are displaced.
and we should have the right to repatriate into our own land, or at least back to the Middle East until the time comes for us to actually go into Jerusalem. So here we are now. What do you say about that?
Well, what I say is that, like I said before, those Europeans that are in the land right now, who they are converts. They converted to the understanding of the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, and they got converted through Esau, and they came from the Caucasus Mountains. But before they got there, they were in Portugal. After they got thrown out of Spain from Portuguese, you understand, they've migrated to the Caucasus Mountains. And the reason for them converting is because the Byzantinians, who were Christians, you understand, and the Arabs, you understand, were east and west of them, you understand, the Byzantinians on one side and the Arabs on another side, and so what they did was they converted to Judaism, which was in the southwest side of the Caucasus Mountains in Mount Seir, which was Esau's, Jacob's brother, you understand, and so they converted. The Esau told them the story, you understand, and they converted, you understand, their Kegan, which is a king, you understand, and all of his nobles, all of those peoples were not, all of his peoples didn't convert, but just the nobles, the people, the higher uppies, the elite. You understand? They converted, you understand? And then after that, they got dispersed, you understand, because Russia came and took over, you understand? And so they migrated into Russia and Germany, and they infiltrated all of those European countries. I'm talking about England also. And they became heads of states in those countries, you understand? And they took on, they kept those Hebrew names. They kept a portion of the Hebrew names, it's a really a deep story, man. I got some paperwork on it, man, and we need to do some research, man, so that we can understand all of this here and how it transpired and how it went down. You understand? And they're never going to just pull over. Go ahead, continue.
And the thing about it is this. I mean, what we have to realize is, too, is that we have the kingship with us. And the reason why we know that is because I am myself a part of the royal house of King David. And for them to be able to lay claim on the land as Israelis, you know, there has to come a point where, you know, we're going to have to be accepted to be able to move into that land and be able to lay claim on that land, because, you know, the land was given to us. The land was given to us, you know, and by the Creator. Yes, we were taken out of the land because of our disobedience. It was no one's fault. You know, we do not promote hatred of any kind. This show is not catered toward us hating Caucasian people, white people, whatever, because it was purpose for us to go into slavery, and now it's time for us to come out of slavery. We're in the final stages of this prophecy being fulfilled. The issue comes in at where is when it comes to bloodline, when it comes to authentic bloodline, our history was erased, our language, our knowledge of who we were, of self. They tried to strategically erase everything, names, language, etc. But the Most High has preserved the seed, which he did give this prophecy to King David, or King Dawid, that his seed would always be in the earth. And as far as that is concerned, that's where we have an opportunity to lay claim, along with the bloodline of the other ones as well, of the of our other brothers and sisters in the tribes that are scattered all over the world. So, you know, we know that they are you know, not who they say they are, but for political purposes and for scriptural purposes, they are required to be where they are.
Yeah, yeah. Soon, you know, see, one thing that I'm finding out also is that what authenticizes us being the people of the scripture is Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 lets us know whether you are Hebrew or not. You understand? It gives you all of the curses that we went through. You understand? We suffer from all of these diseases. You understand? Our children are going against the elders, and the elders going against the children. You understand? All of these things, if you read that there, you'll know that you are a Hebrew Israelite. You understand? And those are the people that was slated to go back into the land. See, in the scriptures, it reads that we have a right to reclaim our land. We have a right to do that.
Right.
And those people that's in the land now is saying that they are us. You understand? And they have that right, but they're Europeans. They don't have that right. They're not connected to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. You understand? So they don't have a right there. They've taken that right because they was given a proclamation, the call of Balfour documents or Balfour Balfour documents. You understand? And that was written up by some Englishman who gave them the right to have that land over there when they didn't even have the right to even write the Balfour Declaration. You understand? So all of this is fraudulent. This is this is fraudulent, man. And see, we got to understand that we do have a king that is over us. The king that is over us is the king of the universe. You understand? He is our salvation. And if we don't understand and get if we're looking for the truth, we will find it. If we go to the Almighty, He will tell us who we are and what we need to do to get out this mess. You understand? So we got to try to we got to try to seek for the truth. You understand? And as soon as them folks start migrating out of there, you understand? It's going all hell gonna break loose. Hallelujah. Because they ain't going quiet.
And then, you know, I think that the issue is we have to understand, too, for all of you all who are not listening, there is a movement going on, and people are waking up. More people are waking up today, I think, than ever. You know, and we have the whole Christianity movement and the whole Christian movement and the Muslim movement, and those are religions. We are not a religion. We are a nation. When we came over on the boat, we came as a nation, as a people, and we were not a religion. So religion is something that we adopted when we came here, and the beliefs and things that we have gotten has been as a result of being here in this land. However, I think that we have to keep into consideration, we have to take in consideration all the time that everything that we have gone through here, from propaganda to culture to identity, to language, to ghettos, all of this has been engineered. So now comes the time when the awakening is happening, which is spoken of in Ezekiel, and we have to get ourselves prepared for that awakening. Now, churches are full today. They're probably getting out of church today because we have been conditioned that today is the day that we worship, and today is the day that we set aside, when we know plainly that Saturday is the Sabbath, is the Lord's Sabbath, but, you know, that goes down a whole nother bunny trail. It is our responsibility, and the reason for the show is to give those people who have had enough of church, who have really just went home and said, that's it, I'm done, to give them an opportunity to understand, because the Most High is the one who has to cut the fight on. He has to bring you to a level of consciousness where you understand it. And we're preparing our people because we will go home. And a lot of people don't even understand the fact that we'll go home. Now, whether we go back to Jerusalem right away, or whether we end up in Saudi Arabia, I'm not quite sure, because Sinai is actually in Saudi Arabia. So from the scriptures, that is where we're supposed to go first.
Okay. I agree.
So I'm not, you know, those are the things that we need to really come together in the think tank that we're putting together for the Atlanta, Georgia area. And I'm going to announce the date of the think tank today, as I promised, so we can start putting some things together. But, you know, those are the things that the think tank will bring, because what we want is we want our Christian pastors, our Hebrew brothers and sisters to sit down and map out the strategy of the prophetic destiny of our people, because we're not going straight into Jerusalem. It's some things that have to take place first, and this is what we are trying to do. We are trying to put together so that the world will know, because they know who we are. You know, they just didn't want us to know who we are. They know exactly who we are, and I believe that there's going to come a point when they're going to actually come to us, because once the world realizes that these Ashkenazi Zionist Jews are not real, and they already know, the other countries, Iran, Iraq, all of these countries know that they are not the original people, in order for them to maintain their sovereignty there, they're going to have to bring the original people somewhere close to there, because it's not going to work any other way. It's just not going to work any other way. You know, because once you're exposed, you can't pretend anymore.
That is correct. See, the Almighty is moving now. I mean, he's been moving all along. The time of his great wrath is hastening. You understand? And so all of these things that's taking place is by the hand of the Almighty. One thing that I'm trying to, I try to get everybody to understand is that this is the Almighty's plan, not ours. You understand? We're just servants and messengers of the Creator. You understand? And righteousness has to be sown in the earth. You know, right now, all over the whole earth, there ain't nothing but murder and mayhem going on. Murder and mayhem. All the major places, you understand, is suffering what they call that, economic depression.
Genocide.
You
know,
hello? Genocide?
I said you're right.
Yeah. You understand? Economic oppression. You understand? All over the world, people are rising up, man. They sick and tired of how they've been being treated. And the only people that can bring righteousness in the earth is us. You understand? Because we have the true and living Almighty on our side. You understand? The history, you understand, we need to take a look at what our history from the time of Adam. If we just take a look at that from that particular point, you'll understand who we are, and that we are the people of the Almighty. You understand? Who loves us and wants to take care of us. You understand? But he's not going to just pop it all together. Then we won't learn nothing in the process. So he got to make sure that he gets the glory from the whole earth. That's what it's doing now. You understand? This story right here is a true and living and life story. This is not no fictitious story. This is not no fantasy world. You understand? This is a real life story. You understand? This is a real life event that's happening. You understand? Over a period of 2,400 years so far. And we going and like Sister Yaina has said, we're going back home. You understand, whether we see it or not. Hallelujah.
Yes, we are, and the way it's looking is looking like it's going to be more sooner than later.
That is correct.
Look at Vladimir Putin. I mean, what do you have to say about Putin and how he directly went against everyone, and now. Chimeria, if that's how you pronounce it, has signed a treaty to join Russia. I mean, all of this is just playing into the whole plan of the Most High for them to even be, and oh my goodness, it's like, you know, if everybody's kind of on edge, like, okay, now what's next?
See, you know, that paperwork that I gave you, that I sent you in the email, it talks about those Russians having that particular region over there, the Ukraine, you understand, where it got Kamaria and Kevi, that's K-E-I-V or something like that. Anyway,
yes.
You understand? It talks about, you understand, those Russian, those Khazars, you understand, that was their headquarters at one particular time in Russia. You understand? Oh, it's a real deep story. You understand? And now here we are 400 years later talking about that same thing. You understand? So it was. You understand? This is all about the Almighty, you understand, getting his glory from the whole earth. You understand? And he's manipulating these things, man, and for his people. And his people is you and I. Hallelujah.
That's right. And then you're talking about World War III. I mean, hold on. Let me see what they're saying. Here we go. Let's take a listen and see what they're saying about it now.
President Vladimir Putin has requested the Russian parliament to accept the Republic of Crimea and Sevastopol as part of the Russian Federation. He addressed the nation and the world with a speech explaining the decision. He said Russia had no claims on the territories since the collapse of the Soviet Union, hoping that Ukrainian authorities would respect the rights of the predominantly Russian population there. He said the recent coup in Kiev and the rise of ultranationalists have changed Russia's perspective. President Putin also said by condoning the coup, the West has crossed a red line. RTC Group Piskunov has more on the speech.
Under Russian law, the agreement now has to be approved by the Constitutional Court. It has to be ratified by the Parliament. And the Constitution itself would have to be amended if a new entity was to join the Federation. And in his statement, President Putin called on the lawmakers to complete all these procedures. Now, also, he said that the main driving force behind all this is the overwhelming desire seen on both sides for Crimea to join Russia, especially meaning the referendum which took place earlier in the Crimea, which Vladimir Putin called truly a historic event, in which over 96% of the local population voted for the Crimea to join Russia. He also said that the current moves are not aimed at harming Ukrainians, even sympathizes to those who peacefully took part in the protests. He said he understood why they were feeling the need for political change, but Mr. Putin said, unfortunately, the violent way the new authorities came to power and the fact that many of them are ultra-nationalists makes it impossible not only for Moscow to recognize them as the new legitimate authorities of the Ukraine, but also even to negotiate with
them.
Who carried out the coup in Ukraine? Neo-Nazis, nationalists, and anti-Semites, and they still define the country's political agenda. It's clear that there is no legitimate executive power in Ukraine right now. There is no one to negotiate with. Many of the government departments have been usurped by self-proclaimed officials who have no means of running the country.
The president also compared the situation to Kosovo, saying that when its independence was recognized by most Western countries, that created a precedent, and he said the way the same countries have been dealing with Crimea is not only based on double standards, but is simply cynical.
What do we hear from our colleagues in the West and in Europe? They say that we are violating international law, but I'm glad that they at least remember that international law exists. Better late than never. The Crimeans used Kosovo as a precedent, and our Western partners set this precedent themselves with their own actions, and in a situation which is fully analogous to the situation in Crimea. They recognize Kosovo, and they prove that you do not actually need permission from the central government to declare your territory a sovereign state.
Mr. Putin also commented on accusations that Russia committed military intervention to the Crimea, saying he doesn't remember an example in history where a military intervention would be possible without a single fired shot, unlike it happens in Yugoslavia, Iraq, Afghanistan, gave other examples as well.
We have every reason to believe that the old policy of containing Russia is still in place, because we take an independent position. But everything has its limits, and in the case of Ukraine, our Western partners have crossed the red line. They were rude and unprofessional, and they attacked us irresponsibly. Our Western partners prefer to use the principle that might is right. They believe that they are always in the right, that they are unique, entrusted by God to decide the fate of other nations. They apply pressure on other countries to get the resolutions that they need. And if that fails, they simply bypass the Security Council. That was the case in 1999 in Yugoslavia, as it was in Afghanistan and Iraq. And then they distorted the UN resolution on Libya. They did not merely enforce the no-fly zone, they bombed that country.
Of course, Putin also spoke about Crimea itself, stressing how important it is to protect all of the nationalities living there, including Ukrainians, Russians, ethnic Tatars. The president says that the Crimea may have three official languages, which would include Russian, Ukrainian, and Tatar.
That was RT correspondent Igor Skunov.
All right, what do you think about that? It seems like, you know what, it seems like that the political relationships is really souring about right now, and you know, one wrong move and we could be at war.
That is correct. You understand? I think that the World War III is going to be started with these, with Russia and China. You understand? I think that the scriptures does speak of something like that. But I want to let everybody know that those people are Yahvetic. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Yafet. Yafet is the nation that they're talking about now, those so-called Europeans that are in the land. You understand? Let me tell you, let me read right here. Og and Magog are those people, you understand? They are German, Crimea, and Cambodia, Celt, Ashkenaz, Germany, Saxon, Scandinavian, and a bunch of names I can't pronounce right now. Togama, you understand, is supposed to have been Armenians. Those are the nations that are in Europe today. You understand? Now this talks about 800 BC is when those nations were established. You understand? And those nations remain today. And Magog is Georgia and all of those other nations, Greeks. You understand? It's a bunch of them, man. You understand? And those are the nations that are established in the European peninsula. You understand? All of those European nations are still in existence today. You understand? So they got to those Europeans that are in the Middle East, Jerusalem. They can go back home. That's their land. They can go back and they were Polish and Hungary. Those are the European nations that's taken over the whole European continent. You may think that England was running things at one time. That's not even true. You understand? They have taken over the state governments and all of those regions over there, and they hid behind all of those folks. So they took on certain names. You understand? And became all of the it's a real deep story. You understand? And we need to investigate all of that stuff. Now that doesn't negate the fact that we are the peoples of that region, of the eastern region, you understand? And you know, so we have to take responsibility for ourselves and start making. We have the richest continent on the face of the earth. all of the other nations, all of those European nations trying to get over there to get them resources out of that continent. You understand? So, we, you know, if we stand up, everybody goes back into their own place because the Almighty ain't going to let nothing happen to us, period, if we stand.
I agree.
Hallelujah.
I agree. So I think that, you know, it's very good that we bring this information out. We have quite a few people on the line, and we do appreciate you all's commitment to the Yehuda Project and getting information out to us. We are still in this land. We are citizens of the United States by birth. We have a land that has been given to us by the Most High, and that is the land of Israel. That little piece of slither that we know as to be the nation state of Israel is nowhere near the size of what it really is. We have a large amount of land that has been given to us that has been designated to each tribe. Each portion of the land has been given to the tribes according to the tribe and who they are. So the scripture gets into a lot of details as to what's going on. And I wanted to know, you know, I did some more research this weekend, and I found out that Christopher Columbus was a Jew. I mean,
that is,
you know,
correct.
When this stuff started to come out, it's like, man, oh, man, oh, man. I mean, when you really understand the significance of it all, and also I want everyone to know that we have been in contact with the White House. We did invite President Obama to come on the show, of course. He respectfully declined. His staff did let us know that, you know, due to his schedule restraints and everything, that he would not be able to come on to the show for us. But I did get a chance to give some information to the National Security Council, you know, to let them know, you know, that as it relates to foreign policy, you know, it is imperative that we're really being ignored to the point where the fact where if we just let them go through and blow smoke, they'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is not the approach that we're going to take. You know, we're going to stay as law-abiding as possible. We're going to be as polite as possible. We're going to use all of the necessary protocols as they relate to business, as they relate to government, as they relate to the scriptures. And as to the law, we're going to use all of the protocols necessary so that we can be able to approach them from a different perspective. And as I revealed to her, I think her name was Bernadette Meacham, you know, I let her know, you know, that there has been a lot of things done as they pertain to Israel, but nothing will change in Israel until the scriptures are fulfilled and the original people that belong in the land are returned back to the land. So it's a question of, you know, the propaganda that's being put out on the news is for the people who enjoy watching reality TV, because at the end of the day, we've already heard the Jews say they're not the Jews. We've already heard them say that. They're not the Jews. Henry Kissinger, and I'm going to play a clip for you in a moment, Henry Kissinger made an announcement that in 10 years there would be no more Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how he can make that assessment and by what means that he is talking about, I really would like to know, because Israel will never be done away with, ever.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Yeah, that is absolutely correct. And I'm glad that you got in touch with those folks, you understand, and let them know, you understand. That might give us the opportunity to put together some paperwork to let them know, so that we won't be stumbling over ourselves when we go and we do get an audience with these folks. You understand? They're going to give us an audience because they wondering what we got to say. You understand?
Absolutely.
You know, and if it's put together properly, you understand what I'm saying? And we don't care what they say or what they do. You understand? It's just that we got to make ourselves known to the Almighty. See, the Almighty is going to, you understand, just like that lady in the scriptures where it reads that she, out of one bottle of oil, she fed a whole community. You understand? So the Almighty will deal with all of those folks, man. All we got to do is make the stand up for who we are. That's what we got to do. long as we stand up, the Almighty gonna watch over us and guide us and be and show us how we can get out this mess. And it's coming. It's a slow process because the Almighty is long suffering. He lets you kill your own self. And I wanted to say this here too, is they drinking from the cup of drunkenness. You know why I say that? It's because who in their right mind would store up nuclear weapons in the hundreds of thousands, in the thousands of nuclear weapons? Who would do that? Somebody that got to be drunk to do something like that. When them things could go off, you understand, somebody could accidentally press the wrong button. Said, come on, they got to be drunk to do something like that. They're drinking from the cup of drunkenness. You understand? And it says that in the scriptures about, you know, the Almighty gave them the cup to drink from. You understand? They ain't of sound mind. You understand? So, you know, it's just a matter of time. You understand what I'm saying? And it's just our duty is to gather ourselves together so that we can save ourselves. And, you know, see, all of those guys that's in office, Obama, from Marcus Garvey on down or on up, you understand what I'm saying? They are only in place to sustain our existence. If they don't be in place, we'd be totally annihilated. Hallelujah.
Well, I don't know about that, but I want to play this clip about Christopher Columbus. And here we go. Let's listen to what he said.
Which community in Spain in 1492?
Well, this is a mystery that God has kept for a long time. Because we've said that Christopher Columbus is from Italy. No, he's from Portugal. No, he's from Spain. Well, where is he really from? Well, they say that he was from Genoa, Italy, but his Italian writing is horrible. But his Castilian is perfect, you know. So be it as it may, recently there is an exponential growth of discoveries that point to the fact that Christopher Columbus, first of all, his name is not Columbus. His name, and not because I'm Hispanic with Sanchez surname and Martinez and so forth, but his name is Colón. And so in Spanish we have it right, Cristóbal Colón. So his real name is Salvador Zarco. All right, but now recently we've discovered that Christopher Columbus, Cristóbal Colón, was known as a quote-unquote Marrano.
Mm.
Marrano?
Mm-hmm.
The Marranos are those that were forced to convert to Roman Catholicism, that were Sephardim, and then they were forced to eat pork, which is very unkosher, and then they were called Marrano, pigs, swine. Because, you see, the facade of the Spanish Inquisition, what is Inquisition? It comes from the root word to inquire. But this was more than inquiring. This was spying and forcing Jews to convert to Roman Catholicism. So what's happening during this time is that it's not so much the facade of religion to force people to convert. It was greed. It's because the crown, the King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, are going broke. They're exploring all over the place. Wars all over the place. They need money, all right? So who's got the money? Who are the financiers? Who are the ones that are so wealthy in Spain and later Portugal? Well, the Sephardim, the Jews, okay? So as early as 1391, there was a major diaspora, meaning scattering, because of the oppression, tortures, burnings at the stake of the Jews. Before and after conversion, they were being burned. So many of them in 1391 fled to North Africa, parts of Europe, into the Middle East. So already the tension, the pressure, yet the Inquisition is not official, but already that spirit of the Inquisition, which is basically a Holocaust, okay, is pushing people. So on the one hand, you have ascendance of wealth and prosperity and successes and achievements, but on the other hand, you have the Spanish Inquisition coming and assaulting all of these wonderful breakthroughs.
All right. What do you guys got to say about that one?
That's crucial.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
would change everything. You know, that would change everything. So then that means that, you know, if he was Jewish and he was Jewish, then he was responsible for supposedly discovering America. I mean, how does that change things?
Well, you know, like I had mentioned, you understand, those Khazars, they were a cruel nation. They came from Hungary, you understand, and Hungary, you know, and all in that region there. And they went from one nation to another, and they never was able to settle down in those nations because they would plunder that nation, you understand. And so they had learned over a period of time that they can't, in order to go into any other place, go in any place, they have to change their tactics. And so what they did was they took on certain different names, you understand. They kept they took on certain different names, you understand, so that nobody would recognize who they are, who they really are, you understand? Those people were the cruelest people. Those people, like I have always mentioned, are the cruelest people on the face of the earth, you understand? They don't care nothing about nobody. They used to be hired out to, you know, when one nation had a problem, they'd go to them Khazars and the Khazars would send 40,000 men in there, you understand, to take over whatever the problem that they was having, and then the people that hired them, you understand, would be at their mercy. Understand? I'm talking about for real, you understand, and so that they could not, you know, that's how they do today. You understand what I'm saying? They're doing the same. They have the same tactics, just under another name. You understand? They came in and Columbus. You understand? They, you know, that was not his real name. You understand? He had that's a surname. You understand? He adapted that name. You understand what I'm saying? So he wouldn't be recognized as them killers and murderers that they really are. Hallelujah. And this is not no new news. You understand? This is truth. This is factual. You understand? They got paperwork, man. Now, everybody say, well, you can't believe what you see on the Internet. No, you can't believe everything that you see on the Internet. You have to draw some conclusions on your own. You understand? You have to look into them things and see where you get enough information to really get a good picture as to who those folks really are and how this is really going down. How it's playing out. Does that. Hallelujah.
All right, I got somebody that's going to push one. I think this is Mahalia. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Mahalia Goodman on the line, and she is actually calling us from Israel. And shalom, shalom, Mahalia, are you there?
Shalom to everyone.
Shalom, shalom.
Greetings from Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
Shalom, shalom. I didn't know whether you wanted to make your announcement or not about your news show or your news channel or what you were planning on doing. Were you ready to do that today?
No, I'll give that information out a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Okay, good. I want to know what your thoughts is on this clip I'm getting ready to play, Mahalia, because Kissinger made a statement that has everybody up in arms, and I want to play this for you guys. Hold on one moment, and I want you to give me your take on it actually being in Jerusalem. Here we go. Here we go.
Stephen, time for another update from Prophecy in the News, and this one is being made for release on Monday, October the 8th. Bob Ulrich in studio with me today again, and we're going to talk about Henry Kissinger today. Who doesn't know about Henry Kissinger? One of the most famous people of our age.
Well, we know the name, but how much do we actually know about Mr. Kissinger?
He is Jewish. He came out of Germany. He came out of basically the ashes of World War II and rose to the heights of the American diplomatic initiative after World War II. And going into the Cold War years, Henry Kissinger was the man. And during those years, Bob, Israel rose to greatness. Israel started out as a little contested state and went through through four or five wars, ending in 1973 with the famous Yom Kippur War. And during all that time, Henry Kissinger was essentially standing up with the West in favor of Israel. So here I read from the New York Post, the dateline is September 17th, and I'm going to read this. It's a little report based upon an interview that was held with Henry Kissinger. And I quote, Henry Kissinger, former Secretary of State, current savant of the state of the world, do not argue with Mr. Kissinger's know-how. He already knows how. That's the New York Post's view of Dr. Kissinger. Second paragraph, Middle East horror. Democratic Party dissing Jerusalem. D.C.'s anti-Israel mentality. Obama busy raising re-election funds. No time for the beleaguered Netanyahu. The Oval Office attitude versus the red line. Iran's oath to destroy our only friend in that part of the world. Next paragraph. Henry Kissinger has stated, and I quote the statement word for word, quote, in 10 years there will be no more Israel, end quote. Henry Kissinger.
You want to repeat that?
I'll read the quote again. And by the way, I saw this. I saw Henry Kissinger actually recite these words. It shocked me. And I quote, in 10 years, there will be no more Israel. End quote. Henry Kissinger. What do you think about that, Bob?
Well, I don't quite know what to make of it, to be honest with you. I can't imagine in a million years why a diplomat like Mr. Kissinger, no less a Jew, would make a statement like that. And of course, when I expressed that confusion, you explained it to me, didn't you?
Well, as a matter of fact, there is a surprisingly large contingent of modern Judaism that is not pro-Israel. They regard Israel as a kind of evanescent phantasm that has come and its time will be up and it'll go away. They see it as a kind of a temporary state, which is astonishing to people who haven't studied modern Israel. And, of course, we take the biblical view that Israel is going to rise up in the latter days and become a head of the nations.
I was going to say most of the American church would agree with Mr. Kissinger. They don't care whether Israel stays or whether Israel goes.
You're right.
Replacement theology is rampant and seems to be growing worse and worse and worse. You know, I find it ironic that even the Jewish people who live in Israel today, most of them are in favor of a Palestinian state.
Yes.
I mean, just stop and think about that. I mean, they live there amongst the terror, and I guess it's just they're exhausted from the battle and from the war.
Now, this may come as a shock to a lot of you who don't understand that there is a very deep and growing divide amidst pro- and anti-Israel forces in the world today. The anti-Israel forces in the Islamic world are easy to discern. For example, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Shiite Muslim of Iran, every day he calls for the destruction of Israel. And every day I read the Bible, and the Bible says Israel is going to win over a series of wars against her enemies, and Israel will become larger and larger and finally become essentially the capital of the world, and Jesus will return. Well, I believe all of these things, Bob. And it doesn't bother me so much if a diplomat in his waning years says Israel, and I quote again, in 10 years there will be no more Israel. That doesn't bother me so much because I know what the Bible.
All right, all right. What do you have to say? Let me open up Mahalaya's mic. Mahalaya, go ahead. You're on the air. What do you have to say about that actually being in Israel? And having a firsthand knowledge of the land of Israel, we're waiting for your mic to click on. I kind of clicked it off because there was some background noise, and I really couldn't hear you that well. So we're waiting for her mic to open back up because she is actually calling us from Israel. She's actually there in the land. So as soon as we can get her mic on, Brother Donia, what do you have to say about that?
Well, you know, what I really think is that I think that he understands that those people that are in the land there are no longer be on that running things in that land are no longer going to be in existence. That's what I think that he's talking about. See, he don't have any knowledge of us as Hebrew Israelites. You understand? That's from my point of view. You understand? I think he's talking about, he can't be talking about the land because, you know, if he had any kind of knowledge of the scriptures, it says that, you know, Jacob shall be saved. And if we're going to be saved out of all those things that's going to happen in this world, and the Almighty said that Jacob's going to be saved, he said that he's going to bring us back unto the land flowing with milk and honey. And that is Jerusalem, where his name will be is to be called. So, you understand? I know that he cannot be talking about that. He had to be talking about those so-called Jews.
All right, Mahalia, what do you think?
Well, can you hear me, first of all?
Can.
Yes, ma'am. We hear you loud and clear.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good. Oh,
we lost it for a moment. Mahalia, when you come back on the line, would you please introduce yourself? This is Mahalia Goodman, and she is actually calling us from Israel. So we have a firsthand, we have feet on the ground and eyes in the air and a voice speaking straight from the homeland. Are you there? We might have lost it for a minute. We'll give her a chance to come back on the line eventually. It is very difficult when you're calling, I guess, from that land and getting a right connection. But, all right, let's go back to Brother Donia. We'll wait till she comes back in. We'll ask, we can't hear you, Mahalia, at all. We can't hear you at all. So I think you might have clicked or muted your phone or something. Hopefully you'll be able to come back in. Are you there?
Okay, I'm speaking, but I don't think you can hear me.
Yeah, we hear you
okay.
Fine. Go ahead. We hear you. You're just fine.
Oh, you can. Oh, okay.
Now we can hear you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, very good, very good. Henry Kissinger back in the day was one of the most powerful men in the world, and it's very hard to say what he could have been alluding to in making such a statement. I will say this, though. The Jews are, as a group, some of the most powerful people in the world. If you want to talk about the powers that be, then many, many people believe that the Jews maintain most of the powers in the world today. So, you know, having said that, and having also done some research, when we look at our media, because they are definitely the ones that control the media, Hollywood, all of the movies, newspapers, television stations, all of these things, having said that, we understand that most of these movies that you look at, they're always telling you about the end times. They're always putting something out there before it happens. In the Kabbalah, which is what many of the Jews study in the Talmud, in that particular doctrine or science, however it is you want to call it or look at it, it is one of their rules that they say that you have to inform somebody before you do it. So like when they put these movies out about the end of the world and the black man being the president and all these things in the The Matrix and all of these other movies that they put out, then you have to really carefully look at them and see what they're saying, and you'll see a thread that is going through there. And him making a statement like this, they understand better than a lot of our people exactly what is taking place on our planet. And I don't know exactly what he meant when he said that there would not be an Israel. He could have been alluding to the fact that it's the end of the Gentile reign. You know, I can't say for sure, but I can say that him making a statement like that and him only Henry Kissinger could make a statement like that and get away with it. But they know and understand what is taking place over here, and because they have all of the records. They have records that go back, and we only have tidbits of what actually took place. And we can sort of try to guess here and guess there, but they know for sure that the Israel, as they know it, is not going to be around in another 10 years. We know that. And I'm assuming that that's what he's stating.
That's for sure. All right. Now, we have another caller on the line, and I'm going to get you more in one moment. I want to make a comment really quick, area code 513. I'll be right with you. I know there's an echo in the phone. So, Mahalia, what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute your mic because I feel that might be your echo. But I will open it back up as soon as we finish. One moment. What I wanted to say is that if that is the case and the Gentile reign in Israel will be over in 10 years, then everything is right on schedule with as what we were talking about last week and how they are setting up for the temple being rebuilt and everything, because that period is only supposed to last 3.5 years. So if that is the case, then we're really moving forward to some serious times. And for us to even think that we would see it in our lifetime is unimaginable, but it's moving really quickly and rapidly. And as much as we try to pull back from the rim and say, no, that's not it, you know, our kids or our children's children will see it in their lifetime, it's happening. Some things are happening really, really, really fast. So I just wanted to make that comment. Area code 513, let me put your... I'm opening up your mic right now. There's kind of a short delay in Block Talk. So it's
nobody else's. Okay, it's too loud. That's what I was saying.
Hello?
I got my head over.
Okay. Echo 513, go ahead, you're on the air. Hello? Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe we don't have anyone on there. I will let them push one again later on. I just wanted to let you all know. 513, you're on the air. Are you there? Okay, I just let them off. All right, we're going to open up my Mahalia's mic again. But, I mean, this is some serious things that are going on right now. And we got to really, really, really be careful because it's really looking like we're on our way out of here. Mahalia, your mic is open. Brother Donia, your mic is open. Go ahead if you guys have a comment. And also I want to make an announcement. If anyone else wants to get in on the conversation, please push 1. We would love to hear from you. We would like to dialogue with you. We want to know what you think about all of this because we're watching prophecy unfold right in front of our eyes. The book of Daniel is right there in front of our eyes opening up. We're right on the brink of World War III. Mahalia is actually in Israel, and she was informing us that they are. There is talk that after the four blood moons that they will be building the temple. All of this stuff is playing right into prophecy, and there's some scary things going on right now. So, Mahalia, you want to comment anymore?
You know, it's just the way you said it, Yaina. There's so much that's happening so quickly. And, you know, my heart just goes out to my people and people around the planet, you know, citizens of planet Earth, because this is something that's affecting all of us. And it's happening so quickly. I just in my heart want everyone to know and understand the urgency of the situation. We don't have any idea of what will be taking place, exactly what will be taking place. We know that they do have their bunkers. They're trying to go underground because they are expecting a major event to be taking place, and they're trying to prepare for it. And they definitely know that it is the end of the world as we know it. And this is exactly what I meant when I was talking about all of these movies where they're talking about the end of the world as we know it, you know. We are the light of the world. We're the salvation of the world. I don't know exactly what this huge event is that's going to be taking place. It's going to change the world forever. But one thing we know, The Creator is not going to totally destroy the planet.
That is correct.
He will not totally destroy the planet, and he won't destroy every human from off the face of the earth. The earth will be here, and this is just an indication of a time where there's going to be it's a glorious time for the rebuilding of the kingdom of God, the true kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just a lot of anticipation, and we definitely need to be prepared in mind, body, and spirit for what's about to take place. Everyone is asking the same question. We just need to know that we just need to be in the right place at the right time, you know, and let everybody know and you know, really try to be understanding what's going on around you, but having the peace in mind and peace in heart of knowing that this is our time, it has been ordained, you know, so we're going to lose some of our own. It's not saying that we won't lose some of our own, you know, because there are a lot of people out there that are trying to mislead people and lead them astray. But in my opinion, you know, I'm watching everything that's going on, and, you know, I'm trying to fast and pray and get myself ready for whatever it is that's about to take place.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonijah. Did I interrupt you?
No,
I was just going to say there's definitely something about to happen because, you know, we watched the clip or show, and anyone that wants us to email you that, please email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com, Yehuda spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, and we'll be more than happy to. But they have committed hours and hours upon strategic planning, analyzing exactly what's going on with foreign governments and far as it comes to World War III, and they are preparing. People are preparing. And I'm not just talking about the military. I'm talking about people. There are people out here preparing for something. Of course, the Most High knows the condition that we're in, and we don't have a whole lot of money, most of us, to do what we need to do. But store up something. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, like we said, if you got to buy a case of water a week and put it in your house, make sure you have some water in your house. Make sure you have some food in your house to sustain you because they're preparing. I mean, it's all over the place. Everybody's preparing for something. And for Kissinger to say in 10 years there won't be any more Israel, that's serious business to me. I mean, you know, and he's the only one that can say it, like they said, without anything happening. So, Brother Donia, you can go ahead and take it from here. I'm going to get a couple more things I want you guys to hear. Go ahead.
Well, you know, you said it all, and Malaya, Sister Malaya, she said, you know, a lot of stuff that was relative to what I was saying. You understand? We just have to do what we need to do to maintain ourselves. You understand? The Almighty said in the scriptures that he was not going to make an end to us. And Jacob, in a number of prophecies, that he said that Jacob shall be saved. Out of it all, Jacob shall be saved. So as far as the earth being destroyed, the whole earth being destroyed, I don't think so. I think it's just the reign of those so-called Jews, you understand, those Europeans, you understand, those are the ones that will no longer be in power, you understand? And whether they all be destroyed, I don't think so. The Almighty is really a compassionate. He don't destroy everybody, you understand? He, you know, somehow or another, you understand, they still had Canaanites on the planet. They, you know, and Egyptians were still on the planet, you understand, even though he said that they were never going to rise up again as a superpower, you understand. They were still Egyptians, still left on the planet, you understand. So the Almighty is not going to destroy everybody, but we just have to prepare ourselves. We have to put I was looking at something on on the boob tube. Yes, that one of the African state nations in Uganda. You understand? They have found a way where they could make sanitary napkins. You understand? We might, you know, when this place go down, man, women gonna have a problem if they don't have no sanitary napkins. You understand? So we need to try to look at documentary, you understand, and he's making big money right now over with sanitary napkins, because most people cannot afford to buy sanitary napkins in Africa, in Uganda, you understand. So he's making big money, but he's selling them at a cut rate price, you understand, and still making a decent living. You understand? And those are one of the things, a couple of the things that is necessary for our existence. You understand? Water is a major factor. Toilet paper is a major factor. So all, you know, those things, and there's a number of other things that we got to have. You understand? So we need to, you know, start preparing ourselves for this great destruction, because it's going to be a great destruction. You understand? Linger long, but die you must. That's what the United States is going to have to go through. You understand? It's not going to be a superpower anymore, and it's going to be under great destruction. And, you know, so we have to take a look at those things, man, you know, and take them for face value, man. Like I said, this is not no fantasy story, you understand? This is real life here we're dealing with. Hallelujah. Uh-huh.
And you know what the scary part about it is? This is that every major empire that was a world empire, and Daniel chapter 2 talks about all of them. It talks about Babylon, and it talks about the Medo-Persian Empire, and then it talks about the Greek Empire, and then the Roman Empire, and then it talks about the European Union, which is the Roman Empire revived. And when you understand that all of these kingdoms were once great, and only because the Most High spoke it, they dissolved. And you're in this country, and you watch this country flourish from the little man's perspective. You know, there were jobs, and there were houses, and there were opportunities, and manufacturing companies, and opportunities for the small businessman to come into play and do all the things that he needed to do. All of these things were made available to us. But now, when you really look at it now, it's like, you know, it almost looks like it's a skeleton nation trying to keep the wool over the eyes of the people so that the people really won't panic. Because if the people really knew where we were and the people really, really knew the conditions that we're in, it would be panic and probably chaos. And you're watching it, you're like, you know, everybody's saying, okay, the 400 prophecy isn't real, the 400-year prophecy isn't real, and that's already happened, and we don't have to look forward to that. But the way it's looking and it's rolling up on 2019 pretty fast, and the closer it gets to 2019, which is our 400th year, according to our calculations of 1619, it's really looking like we're going to be out of here soon. And like I told Mahalaya last week when she made the announcement about the temple, and I went back and I listened to the show, I want to reiterate that. There are camps. There are Hebrew bodies of people where their leaders are teaching them to be prepared to look for a specific sign. When they see the sign, which is the abomination of desolation, stand in the temple and profess to be the Most High, that's our cue to get out of here. And they're ready to walk away from their jobs, their houses, their cars, their families, because they know that that's going to be the onslaught of the destruction of America. So when you look at all of these things and you weigh all of these things out, you're scratching your head like, man, this is really looking like it's coming to fruition. And the sad part about it is, and it's not a sad day, because the church will be given an opportunity to understand about the wilderness teaching, because we have a whole group of people. We got a whole group of people that profess to believe that they worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And they are doing things out of ignorance because of the way they have been taught. And they're not observing the necessary things to give them a hedge of protection. And we have to be able, because we're Israel, to go back into the church and be able to tell them, hey, look, you know, I know that you've been told about the rapture, and I know that they've taught you that the rapture was coming, that you was going to fly away. But the reality of it is Isaiah chapter 66, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15, says that he's going to destroy those that are eating swine flesh. Now, I know you was told that eat all meat and bless it in his name, and then you're going to be all right. But that's not what that scripture says. This is an end-time prophecy that he gives that says that he's coming back to destroy and to destroy all flesh that consume the swine. And not to mention the fact that we totally, totally ignored the Sabbath day. We're not keeping the Sabbath day. If I can go down a long list of things that can tell you as Christian believers that we need to get in there. And when the time comes and the door opens, we're walking through the door because, like Mahalia said, everybody's not going to take heed to it. Everybody's not going to believe it. People are going to be hard-headed and stiff-necked, and they're going to say, I've been believing this way for the year. I'm going to wait on the Lord to come and get me. Some people are going to catch on to it, and that's going to be the difference between the people who put the blood over the doorpost and the people who don't. So we've got to get we're going to have an opportunity to do that, but I don't think it's going to be long. It's going to be like, okay, this is what it is. This is what he said. Are you coming or not? And then once they have a short window to make their mind up, and then you come on and you leave when the time comes. But I truly believe that there's going to be negotiations set up for us to be able to go back to the Middle East. So that's just where I'm at. I can go on and on and on.
Well, if you know, one thing that you said, you understand, that struck a light in my head is that it's not going to be no negotiation in the fact that either you put the blood on your door or you don't. You understand? If you don't put the blood on your door at tomorrow morning when you wake up, man, you might be out of here. You might be out of here. Understand? So you got to take heed as to what is being said. You understand? In the moment, because during the time of Moshe, you understand, they put the blood on the door, and the next morning when they woke up, they was dead folks. They was firstborns was dead. You understand? So we cannot sit back and just twiddle our thumbs forever. We got to try to do something about ourselves. We need to be putting our water back and interchanging that water when we put it back. You understand what I'm saying? You know, buy two cases of the 24 things and interchange it, you understand, so that if anything go down, you got some water. You understand?
That's
so,
right. And
you know
and you think about the young gangsters, whatever they call themselves on the street, the dope dealers, the ones that swinging the dope to our people, and all of the gangsters that's riding around in their cars and their pretty cars. It's time for you guys to start waking up. I mean, for real, we're going to come to Atlanta, we're going to sit down, we're going to tell you what it is, because you're going to have to do something to protect your family. And this time, you ain't going to be able to shoot your way out because it's going to be too much for you. It's bullets coming that you can't even imagine from different countries that's coming up in this place. And it's not, they already here. Matter of fact, I can't even say they're coming up in here. They're preparing for martial law. They're preparing for a civil unrest. Whatever's getting ready to happen is going to, that's the purpose for the concentration camps and all of the caskets they have prepared and all of the things that they have. So we need to get in touch with all the street thugs and all the gangsters and all the people that think that they're running something right now to let you know that when the sirens go off, it's too late. It's too late.
You know what?
It don't matter how much money you're going to have. There's not going to be no food in the stores. And you got to start preparing now, and that's what we're doing. We're sounding the alarm.
You know what? I mentioned to my sister-in-law the other day, I said, it's one thing to have a gun, and there's another thing being able to get it. If somebody got the drop on you, you ain't no sense. Having a gun ain't gonna work for you.
But you know, you remember yourself, though. I sent you that clip where they were talking about they're confiscating the guns. There is a clip out where they were talking about how they reacted to the New Orleans crisis when the dam broke and how they were going into people's houses and pulling people out of their houses and confiscating their guns. They were taking them by military force. One lady actually sat on the edge of the street crying because not only did they come in her house by force, but a couple of the police officers raped her while they was in there. So we're talking about a time when there's not going to be any law. There's going to be lawlessness on top of everything else. And they're confiscating your right to bear arms to protect your family. Those who don't come, I feel sorry for you because it's not going to be nothing pretty. I'm telling you, it's not.
It's not. It's not going to be at all. You understand? And see, you know what's so ironic? It's not going to be nothing like what you thought. You understand? It's going to be twice or maybe 10 times worse than what you thought it was going to be like. You understand? You think that you're going to have a way out of this mess. You understand? Not unless you grab hold to the Almighty's understanding, because that's how it works. It don't work no other way. You understand? The Almighty said that you got to do it in a certain way, and that's how he going to have it. You understand? And all of those that's sitting on the fence and skeptical and standing in the middle of the road, you understand what I'm saying? It's going to be too late for that. You understand? You're absolutely right. You know, they're going to come and get you. Made a couple of good points the other week when you was on, and you gave us a list of things that they can come in your household and confiscate everything you got. You understand? Ooh,
okay, we. Cars, houses, guns. They can come.
But you know what? See, one thing that I'm looking at this here is that we have strength in number. If we gather ourselves like the Almighty said, as a nation, it didn't say individual. He did not mention individual. Not through the mouth of Zephaniah. He said, if you gather yourself, you understand, and seek righteousness and humility, you understand, then we stand a chance of saving our soul and saving our keisters. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm telling you,
I got someone there that's from Push One. Hold on one moment. Area code 903, go ahead, you're on the air. Hello? 903, you're on the air? I'll give them a chance to get their phone off of mute. Maybe they muted their phone, but there's a time. Mahalia, are you still there?
I'm still here.
They're preparing for something. I mean, do you agree? I mean, what is it looking like in Israel? Is it the same over there? Do you have the same feeling that they're preparing in Israel as well?
Well, I can't really say that I've seen anything with my natural eyes, you know. This is something that they've known for some time. Later on this week, I'm going to be doing another video, and I'm going to be having a brother on who's a historian, and he's going to be talking about the historical, you know, I talk a lot about now the blood moons, the four blood moons, and he's going to be talking about the historical significance of the Hebrew Israelites in the four blood moons, because when you look at the video clips that are out there now, they're all talking about the Jewish connection. But as soon as I saw it in my mind, I said to myself, well, I understand that the Jews and Hebrews are closely related, but surely this has to be more of a Hebrew connection than a Jewish connection, you know. And so that's what he's going to talk about. And one of the interesting things that he mentioned, and I, you know, he will elucidate us to a greater degree during the video, but one of the things that he mentioned to me was 1967, when they had another incident of the four blood moons, it was a time when Martin Luther King was actually having talks with Israel, and they were supposed to be coming to Israel, and they were supposed to be setting something up at that time. Before he could actually come, of course, we all know he was assassinated. So I'm saying all of this to say that in his speech he said, I've been to the mountaintop, and I've looked over, and mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. So he knew and understood that Israel is very important in the scheme of things for our people, but he was not allowed to come. So there was a fear. So we have to know and understand that this has been brewing for a long, long time. And a lot of our people are asleep, and they twerking, and they all out there, and they doing, you know, every manner of thing in following the Gentiles, so to speak, you know. And it's so sad because we're nigh unto the hour. We're right at the door. You know, and if they're selling their souls to the devil. And this is why there is such a surge of evil on the planet, because they know what time it is. Their time is very, very short. And I'm going to say something else, and this might sound strange to many of you, but I'm going to say it. I can't help but notice in the news, every time you turn around, they're talking about UFOs and UFOs. And, excuse me, I have been trying to keep abreast with this, and it was just today I was looking at a video, and there was a gentleman that was an astronaut, and before he died, he stated that when they went to the moon, they saw black men up there in space vehicles, and he's not the only person that have seen blacks in space vehicles. They actually have the wreckage of a spaceship with a black woman in it. And I know you all are probably familiar with that one. So when we talk about the end times, and they talk about the ships, and they talk about this whatever event that's going to take place at this particular juncture in time, in this dispensation, there's never going to be another doubt again about is there a God, who God is, the power of God. So whatever's going to happen, they're going to play their best hand. But I'm not worried about a thing, because I know this is going to be an event where we're going to have some intercession. I don't know what kind, but we're going to have some kind of intercession. And all of those people that love God with all their heart, soul, and might, and they're out there, and they don't have a way to get to Israel. They don't know, but they just know they love God. I know God gonna make, our Creator's gonna make a way for them.
That is correct.
Yes, He will. Yes, He will.
And
yes,
between Passover, which is in April, and next September, there are gonna be some things that are gonna be taking place, and people are going to be noticing this, and hopefully a lot of our people will turn back and understand what time it is. They're going to turn back. And not only are our people going to turn back, people all over the planet going to be waking up. This is not just, you know, when they talk about an awakening, it's an awakening for the multitude. But then you're going to have your chosen. So, you know, it's going to be the hand of God. And it's going to be just like in the days of old when they talked about the parting of the Red Sea.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so, you know, I just can't wait. I can't wait.
And you know what, Mahalaya, you know, one thing about it, you know, I'm an avid studier of the extraterrestrial, the supernatural, in the scriptures and in the news, studied it for years. You know, can debate with the best of them, you know, all of the sightings and all of the different leaders of the countries that have come and sat down with some of the other leaders to show them proof that they've had of different sightings and wreckages and things like that they've had. And I was doing a study the other day, which was just mind-boggling that you even brought that up, but I was doing a study the other day about UFOs and how they came to be and the Roswell experience, and found out that when the spacecraft landed in Roswell, that all of the military men that were called to that particular at that particular time to Roswell, New Mexico, that these men are the ones who actually started the CIA. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, when you really understand the things that are going on now, this is a very critical and crucial time. And not to mention, they still haven't found that plane. That plane is gone.
And
I don't care how many refugees, they haven't found it.
And the woman that is, you mentioned in one of the, your radio shows that there is a woman from the UN. She is the ambassador that has been appointed so that if
yes.
the aliens ever come, or the guests, or whatever, however you
yes.
want to call them, you know, she has been appointed. But then the airplane that disappeared was from her country.
I know, from Malaysia. I know.
So that is very, very strange.
Yes.
The She's been the one appointed,
you know,
and the plane disappeared from Malaysia. So all of this is you have to really take your head out of the sand and watch and see what's going on.
Yes.
I know,
and
some
like
of my brothers and sisters have to. Excuse me.
No, I said we have to get to our young people and tell them to come out the club. It's time to quit twerking or whatever y'all call that mess you're doing, and it's time to get somewhere so someone can teach you, and so that you can be abreast of what's going on, so you can help to prepare your family. Because 90% of us don't even have any sort of preparedness plan to put together for our own families in the event of a disaster. Nobody has it. Everybody's thinking that, oh, we got our cell phone. Guess what? When stuff like this happens, the whole grid is going to go down. Won't be no cell phones. It won't be none of that. You won't be able to pick up your phone and call anybody on the cell phone. It's going to completely shut everything down. And do you have a plan in place on how to communicate in the event that your cell phone goes down? Because we haven't always had cell phones.
That is correct.
The best thing to do is to try to, you know, just like what you and the brother have been saying, is to stock up, try not to be in these major cities, you know, try to do
yep.
as much as you can to, you know, prepare yourselves. And then, you know, I don't know, over here in Israel, the lifestyle that we have been living in, and I'm just going to go on and say it, for a lot of black folks, we ain't never had nothing no way. So, you know, some of us been fasting and we wasn't even intending on fasting. We just didn't have nothing to eat. You know, some of us didn't have electricity. Some of us, you know what I'm saying? So for us, a lot of us will be able to see it through because we didn't hardly have nothing to start with. Like they talk about this recession. A lot of black folks say, what recession? I've been living like this all my life.
That is correct.
All my life.
So, you know, and the people on the continent and a lot of people all over the planet, they're going to be able to make it. I'm not saying don't prepare. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just simply saying, but all of these people thinking that they run into the bunkers and they go run and they go be safe, they're going to be in for a big surprise.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be their coffin.
Yeah.
Those bunkers will
be
their coffin.
Is. That's right. That is the truth. And I want to make an announcement. It's 5:18 for you all that are in the chat room. If you would like to continue and be a part of the show, you have to call in before 5:30. It looks like we're probably going to go into overtime for a few minutes. You know, but I wanted to make an announcement as well. For you all who want to really have the information that we have that gives us the insight that we have, I want you to go on YouTube and I want you to look at Strategic Relocation by Alex Jones. And I want you to really pay attention to what they're saying because they are preparing to, like she said, to move to high ground. They talk about, you know, when there's a catastrophe in a major city, that people are all of the people are going to be trying to leave the city at one time, which is going to cause a traffic jam and all those kind of things. So a lot of people are actually leaving America. They're getting up out of here. You know, they're leaving America. Everybody can't do that. You know, everybody does not have the funds to do that.
They cannot do that. So, you know, at best what we're saying is just prepare, because they're preparing for something. The government is not going to give you this information because they don't want you to panic. We don't want you to panic, but we want you to be prepared, because it's very important that preparation is the main thing that we need. You know, I definitely am interested in anyone that has any feedback. If you have any expertise skills on survival and things like that, we need that as much as possible as a nation. Because, you know, a lot of us, too, are delusional, because they're like, well, y'all going to take care of us, and y'all going to make sure we eat, and we don't have to worry about nothing. All we got to do is sit back and wait on y'all. Not so, because when the Romans took over Jerusalem, they said they killed over 1 million Hebrew Israelites.
That is correct.
Everybody didn't make it. So, you know, there's going to be some people that will not make it, and, you know, it just depends on how well prepared you are that you'll be a part of those that make it. Now, whether or not we get to go home before all of this starts, I don't know. And that's my biggest prayer with Mahalia. You know, next week I'm going on a serious fast and a shutdown for next week so I can go before the Most High, because my prayer is, what is our exit strategy?
That is correct.
We need to have some information as to what we need to know how to do. So, I mean, you know, go look at strategic relocation. Pull it up and look at it and actually get a chance. When you get a chance, it's called Strategic Relocation by Alex Jones, and they're actually talking about the upcoming war. Now, what they say, though, is that they believe it's going to start with North Korea bombing South Korea, and that once that happens, that's going to kick it all off. But nobody's expecting anything to happen for the next 4 or 5 years. I don't know. Because with Vladimir Putin in charge and the things that he's been doing, I just really don't know.
Yeah. Shalom.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, Tumshi, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, Brother Adonia, that I have heard on several occasions that the UFOs or the ones that are from outer space or whatever, they have the capability, and they have actually done this where they have shut down these missiles from being fired or being detonated that were intended on being fired into other countries, because they know the capability with these neutron bombs and these weapons of mass destruction. So, you know, you never know what might happen. It's just very, very interesting, because they know what they're capable of, and they're actually very, very afraid. This could be something intergalactic. We don't know what might be happening. It might be something that's on this planet that we don't even know about, that's fighting, you know, some from another planet coming to fight the ones that have been holding us down as people on the planet. We don't know. But one thing
that's
we
it.
Do know, the Earth won't be destroyed, you know. And those that, like, as I keep saying over and over again, you have to prepare yourself more spiritually and raise your vibration than anything. Because if it is a mass ascension or something like that that's going to, and there's a certain energy that's coming into the planet or something like that, we know it's going to be worldwide. But you have to prepare your vibration. You have to raise your vibration and get to yourself together physically and spiritually. Stop eating all of the crazy food. You know, you're not going to be able to go to McDonald's. So start trying to get dried fruit, things you know you can't cook. You're not going to be able to cook. Get you some dried fruit. You know, get you some things that you're going to be able to, that are natural, and or have canned things or things that are, you know, like grandmama used to have those glass jars, preserves. Like that.
Yep.
You're not going to be able to cook. You know, you have to use your common sense. You know, so if you're out there and you know somebody that's out there on a farm, and they, you know, and just like she said, go to that video, get you some understanding on just basic things that you can do. But get out of the gorging and get your mind right, get your body right with God. All this twerking and the music, you know, you have to raise your vibration, prepare your body, prepare your mind, prepare your spirit to enter into, you know, into this new age that's coming about.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
you can't
ma'am.
Do it, you know, having a whole stack of potato chips. You know, you need something that's going to nourish you during this time. It might be a month that you're not able to come out of your house. What, you know, you can't, you know, you want something that's going to nourish you. You don't need stuff like crackers. You know, you can get you stuff like chlorophyll and stuff like kelp that you could just pour water on and you can eat it. It's, you know, it's things like that that can keep you strong during this time.
Mm. Yep.
May not be no electricity.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep, I understand. It's going to be something that we never imagined in our wildest dreams. You understand? But, see, we could salvage some of that stuff. We don't have to take it all. You understand? We could put together a little plan. You understand? See, like I said, we are, you know, we are stronger in number. You understand? If we gather ourselves, man, at least we can, you know, we can depend on our salvation through our folks, you understand, who we align ourselves with, you understand, because those they don't have no exit strategy for us, no bunkers, you understand. You try to go in one of them bunkers, you understand, after this place getting tore up, man, you get shot, you understand. So we need our own stuff, you understand. We don't need trying to find some way to go in somebody else's place, knocking on their door and expecting them to do something for us. They you know, they already told the whole world that we were thugs and lazy and sluggards and all of that. So imagine what's going to happen if we try to knock on somebody's door when this place starts to fall down.
You're going to get shot.
Come on.
But I want to say that, you know, there's some, Mahale, I muted your mic because we have an echo from you, but I will open it up back again in a moment. I wanted to say that there are ways that we can be very ingenuitive in our thinking. You know, get a barbecue grill. Get one of them old-fashioned barbecue grills. You know, get some wood. You know, that creates a stove where you can actually cook. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Correct.
You don't have to have charcoal because charcoal is dangerous for you. It's got too many carcinogens in it. It's dangerous. Get some wood. Burn some wood in that old-fashioned barbecue pit, and that'll become your stove. I mean, you have to start thinking of things like that. People who have fireplaces, you can use that as your stove. It's a whole lot of things we can use in terms of trying to stay warm. They have those little portable fire, like, I guess you can hold wood in it, and you can sit it outside on your porch or on your deck or whatever and light the wood inside of it, and it keeps you warm. That'll be a mechanism for you to stay warm. It's just little things that we have to try to figure out how to do as being poor people. Because, like he said, we're not allowed in the underground bunker. And they made that very clear, that if you go into those bunkers and try to get in that mountain and you don't have the authorization, they will shoot you on sight. They even have crematories that are built inside of the mountain in the event that other people die while they're in there, and they can cremate them while they're right there. So, let me make the announcement. There's a video that we want everyone to go online and see. It's called Strategic Relocation by Alex Jones. It's on YouTube. And they are actually preparing. They're telling you that everybody's expecting something to happen. Henry Kissinger announced that Israel wouldn't be around in about 10 years, Israel will be gone as a nation. We don't know what that means. They're expecting a World War III to jump off. We don't know what that means. We've got planes missing in the air. No one really knows what that means. If you are a Christian, if you're a non-believer, if you want us to come to your state or where you are, give a seminar, we will be more than happy to do that. Just email us at the Yehudah Project. It's spelled YEHUDAH@gmail.com. We have Mahalaya on the line from Israel. She's actually on the ground in Israel, eyes on the ground in Israel, letting us know what's going on over there. And our job is to keep you abreast of what's going on over here. Like she said, it's time out for twerking. It's time out for slinging drugs. It's time out for all of that. You better start paying attention. because in a minute, it's not going to matter how much money you got, because when they collapse that dollar, that money going to become toilet paper. And if you can't legitimize it on paper and it becomes digital money instead of paper money, oh, you can have $1 million hid in the ground. It's not going to make a doggone bit of difference.
That is correct.
None.
That is so true. You understand? You know, so, you know, I can't impress upon us more. You understand? When this think tank jump off, man, we need everybody on hand. You understand? Come on up with your ideas and your commitment. You understand? Don't come with no idea and don't have no commitment.
Right.
You understand? You know, you got to be committed to this thing because we are all we got. We ain't got nobody else. Ain't nobody else gonna do anything to help us. You know, you understand? You know, most of the time you would hear the government say, well, we got a, you know, the fallout shelter is over here and the fallout shelter is over there. I ain't heard that yet.
Uh-huh.
You know why? Because they don't want none of y'all over there at that fallout shelter, period.
And I want to announce the date for the think tank, and this is tentative because we're still working on the location, but we're looking to have it. It's going to be on that Wednesday. Our arrival date will be Wednesday, October the 29th, and the think tank will be the 30th, the 31st, Friday the 1st, Sunday the 2nd, and we will be back in our homes on Monday the 3rd. And that's looking around the time that we're going to have it. I'm in talks with someone right now. I think we're looking more at the Hilton Garden Hotel. We're looking and we're waiting for them to get back with us on that. So if you guys have any talents you want to bring to the table, please email us and let us know. We need all the help we can get. We need you to contact every drug dealer, every thug, every church girl, everybody to come to this think tank so we can get them prepared so they can get their families prepared, because this is serious. They're not telling you this in the church. Nobody's getting you prepared for anything in the church, and they got all these people ready to rapture up out of here like they are not going to be a part of it, that they are, wait a minute, that the church is going to actually get raptured over the real Israelites. Let me clear up something real quick so that you don't understand that you will not, and I repeat, for all of you pastors and bishops that are out there, Bishop Jake, Bishop Jones, Bishop whoever, Bishop Sleekai, whoever you are, stop lying to these people. There is no way Yah is going to rapture you over us. That is illegal. That is heresy. And you will not leave here over Israel. Everything related to us is related to Israel. Everything you get has to come directly through us. So if you want us to come, we will be more than happy to come to get you prepared, because you have no idea what you're about to embark upon.
That is correct. Absolutely. You understand? You know, I mentioned when you mentioned about the conference that you was going to have with this young lady from the White House.
We need
to set up some kind of meeting on that. We got to have all our eggs in the basket, in a row, so that we won't look foolish. You understand, when we get when we have this little conference talk with the White House there. You understand, and I think I had mentioned to you earlier. You understand that we need to table it for next year sometime after the conference that we're going to have with the think tank. That's my suggestion.
I agree with you 100%. And for you all who don't know, we have I got an email from the National Security Council of the White House, and I sent some information back to her. Her name is Bernadette Meacham. We want to be able to sit down with them. You know, whether or not they will agree to this, we are still waiting for them, you know, to agree to, you know, to sit down with us. Whether or not they will, we don't know yet. We're still waiting to see whether they will. We would like to be able to have an opportunity to do that. You know, we would like to have an opportunity to talk to them about our stance and where we are, what we're preparing for,
and, you know, how we feel about our situation. We're not expecting any government programs. We're not asking for any more increases in social service programs. Our job is to get our people prepared because they're prepared. And as much as they tell us not to worry, they're preparing. And when somebody is preparing to the point where they have bunkers built into the mountain, you can't tell me not to worry because you've gone to the extreme to make sure that you're going to be all right. Now, you can't build a you done built the bunker inside of the mountain, and you're going to tell me not to worry. Now, that's kind of not fair. So what we're doing is we're going to put our own things together so we can hand out some paperwork to our people to get our people prepared so that they can at least try to sustain themselves. And this is our government, and we should be able to sit down with our government and have a conversation with our government and tell them how we feel about the situation. You know, so that is what our goal is. We also, for those who are on the board of directors for the Nation of Yehuda, we're having our business meeting tonight at 6:30, as we always do. And we would like for you all to be there. It won't be long. We're not going to hold you any longer than maybe 35, 40 minutes at tops. Mahalaya, we really need you to be on the call tonight. And we just want to say to everybody that we hope that this has been inspirational. We hope that we have equipped you with some knowledge. Our job is to give you some knowledge. We're not interested in pacifying anybody. We want you to be prepared. So we gave you a website to go, a YouTube clip to look at. It's called Strategic Relocation. It is 2 hours long. It is by Alex Jones. And give it a look over tonight. It will change your perspective about where you are. Once you see it, pass it on to everybody you know. Make up an email list and send it out to everybody you know. And whether it's everybody, if you can put it on their phone, send it to their phone and direct them to this radio show next Sunday, because next Sunday we're going to get in detail as to what we're doing and how we're preparing, because we're preparing to leave this country and go back home. Now, whether or not we go back to Jerusalem, we do not know, or whether or not we're going to end up in Saudi Arabia, we do not know that either, because according to Scripture, we are supposed to meet in the land of Midian at the base of Mount Sinai in the wilderness of the people. So if that's the case, then we will be going back to the Middle East. When? Well, that's something that's open for discussion that we need to definitely pray about. Brother Mahalaya, do you have anything you want to say in closing?
No, just wanted to say I love you all, and take care, and please take heed.
Hallelujah.
All right, Brother Antonio.
Yeah, I always say that I love each and every one of you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. And I want to add to it that if we don't do nothing about our circumstances and put together an exit strategy, you understand, then we're going to get lost in the sauce, you understand?
Okay.
These things are really happening. This is not a fantasy movie, you understand, you know? It's real life. Pinch yourself. You understand? This is real life here we're dealing with. You understand? Our children are at stake here. That's my main concern here, is to have something for our children to stand on, to make a move on. You understand? So I'm totally committed, you understand, to doing whatever it takes, you understand, for our salvation. Hallelujah.
And I want to say, too, the scripture also says that the Most High is going to open up the prison doors. And he's going to let Israel out of prison. So those that you have family or loved ones that's incarcerated, let them know the Most High hasn't left them either. His eyes are on them as well. He's going to give Israel an opportunity to return. He said, I'm going to open up the prison doors and let them out of prison. So we've got to get this information to our brothers and sisters that are incarcerated. We got to get this phone line popping. Every Sunday, this phone line ought to be filled up with people that want to know. We don't care whether you're free, whether you're incarcerated, whether wherever you are, we need to get this information to you. Don't forget Strategic Relocation by Alex Jones. It's 2 hours long. Look at it tonight so that you can know what we know, and we're going to share something with you every week so that you'll be well abreast as to what we're talking about, and we won't seem like we're religious fanatics.
and crazy and like we're conspiracy theorists. Because, like I said, anytime they're building a haven inside of the mountain and storing up food and clothing and all kind of systems is built in there, you can't tell me not to worry.
I know that's right.
We don't prepare.
No, that's right. Yeah. So
but that's
you
gone
know.
To the extreme, you know.
Yeah. Yep. One other thing that I want to say, you know, you understand? See, the Almighty will inspire us and show us how to go. It's not something that he's just going to poof and everything going to be all right. That's not going to happen.
That's right.
He's going to inspire us to show us the direction that we should go. You understand what I'm saying? When he said he's going to gather us, he inspires us to do that. He says specifically... was a commandment in Zephaniah that we should gather ourselves. But he also said, as I gather you, you understand, that's not him per se, but he's inspiring us to do this. You understand? So we got to look at that particular thing. It's not no thing where he's just going to poof and everybody going to be all right. That's not going to happen. It didn't happen in ancient times, and it's not going to happen now. Things preceded other things. Hallelujah.
That's right. Hallelujah. And we're going to be prepared. And our job is to build a nation. That's what we were told. Build my nation. That's what we're doing. We're building a nation. And we want everybody to be prepared in the nation. And we're going to stand strong. And we're going to move according to the leading of the Most High and his word. And we're fasting next week. If you want to join us, you're more than welcome to fast next week. We're going to fast next week from 12 midnight to 4:30 in the afternoon. And we're going to be before the Most High in prayer. If you'd like to join us, you're more than welcome to do that. But it's time for us to start coming together and seeking the Most High's face and direction as to where we want to go. And on that note, we want to say we love you. If you want us to give you some information, some more information, please email us at the Yehuda Project, YEHUDAH@gmail.com. And we will send you everything we know so that you'll know what we know. And then we can move from that point. Shalom, shalom, everybody. We love you, and thank you so much this week for joining us. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I can't stay away from you too long. Even if I do, I'll always call. Checking on you, make sure you're okay. Be the one to brighten up your day. Yeah, yeah. And the point of it all, I love you. Yeah. My days seem long whenever we're apart. It's like someone has stolen away my heart. You're a major part of my life. And no matter what the storm may bring, I'm fine with you. And the point of it all, I love you. And the reason for it all, I love you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, away from me, baby.
I can't stay away.
Don't wanna be without
you.
I need you.
All right, that's another edition of the Yehuda Project. This is Yaina Israel, and I just want to say to everyone, thank you so much for being committed. Thank you so much for being attentive, and thank you so much for just supporting what we do, and we'll see you next week, same time, same place, the Yehuda Project. Shalom, shalom. Bye-bye.